Because they'll start to come out and say, well, with this new advanced technology, restructuring DNA in shots, we can cure cancer, we can cure all kinds of human diseases.
Okay.
And that's going to be really, really big. What is your thoughts about that?
My thought is, I'm not going to tell you where to invest or not invest. Will that come true? That investment portfolio get more and more valuable? It's possible if they continue to hide the truth. And the truth is, Moderna, who's been around for 10 years, has been trying to do this mRNA technology to change our RNA DNA.
Mm-hmm.
For 10 years, they've been trying it. And I don't have the quote in front of me. Dr. Mercola did an article about this. It was 2017 or 2018. They came out to their investors and said, well, sorry, guys. We have not been able to perfect this technology. When the dose is too low, we don't get the effect. We can't change enough of the genetics. When the dose is too high, all the lab rats die. It's way too toxic of a therapy. We're abandoning it. So historically, they haven't been able to do it without injuring and hurting and harming. And so now with VAERS coming out, I mean, this is a four-month period. The last 4 months, 3,848 deaths and 118,000 adverse events, some of those permanent disabilities. Historically, only 1% of adverse events get reported to VAERS.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's still accurate, the last four-month period of time, 3,848 deaths is more like, what would that be, 300,000? There hasn't been that many deaths reported in VAERS in the last 15 years. We got more deaths in the last 4 months. And there's some evidence coming out now, truthtim.com. You can go watch his video. He's analyzed the data. All these data dumps every Friday appear to be just from January inputs. So we're still missing February, March, April, according to the data analysis.
We have a lot more people that's taken a shot since then.
So this guy's estimating 750,000 adverse events aren't even reported yet. And that's what I'm saying. The technology hasn't been proven in the past to be where the risk-benefit ratio allowed it to come to market. Now under the experimental or emergency authorization, it's come to market, and with historically 1 to 10% of reports in, there's already 3,800 deaths. So,
is there any of them, though, Dr. Edwards, that you would take? I mean,
or nope.
The lesser of the...
Nope.
In other words, would Pfizer's be better than Moderna,
nope,
as opposed to AstraZeneca?
Nope. No, sir.
None of it.
You're
I'm
not going to...
I'm just asking.
No.
People, I mean, you know,
and here, this is what we're really going to talk about today. The deception that has overcome the earth. This is a spiritual battle. There's no doubt in my mind. We have been dumbed down, watered down, deceived. The theory of evolution is a big part of it. People look to science and this elevated scientist and science and doctors now, this last year, to the level of God or above. And I'm going to submit to this man-made, man perspective. I know better than our Creator. It's a bunch of hogwash, and I'm sorry. My first year at Baylor, the biggest Baptist school in the world, and my first year biology teacher tells me on the first day, if you're going to be a scientist, you have to believe in evolution. Well, that was the first big crack in my foundation. Evolution? I got to believe in evolution. You have all these really smart people telling you evolution's true. It's a total deception, and today's show's not going to be about that. I've got a whole video series I'm about to publish on that. I'm just saying there's these different deceptions that come in over here and over here and over here, and pretty soon we're questioning this book, this supernatural, amazing book. I've often said, and I'll say it again now for new listeners, it's 66 books. It's not one book. It's 66 books, different books all put together, written by 40 different authors over 1,500 years. Three different languages on three different continents, and somehow you put it all together and it tells this one amazing story that, statistically speaking, is impossible that this could have been randomly written by man. And meaning Professor Stoner did a analysis of the prophecies like in Isaiah and some of these early books that were written 500 years before, you know, the New Testament. And there's like 400 or 500 different predictions, prophecies. And he analyzed just 10 of them. What are the odds that some guy's going to come along in 500 years from now and fulfill just 10 of these 500 prophecies? And it was like 1 times 10 to the 157th power. I mean, I don't even know how many zero. Well, I guess 157 zero. But the point is, it's impossible. There's no way. This book is true. But we've watered it down, dumbed it down, deceived, deception, lies, these things. And this is one of them, in my opinion. This put science, elevate science up, and science with man at the helm of it. Dr. Fauci, he's fallible. All of us doctors are fallible. I don't know the whole truth. Nobody knows the whole truth. But I know this. I trust God's immune system way better than any man-made version of it or modification of it. I'm going to give you one quick example. Then we're going to bring in our guest, Cody Cochran from Anton, Texas, Bethel Church. I had a lady, this is before I knew more of the truth in medicine, because I don't want to come across as totally anti-medicine. So I'll give you an example. Here's a little old lady came to my clinic on a Friday afternoon. This was 10 years ago when all I knew was conventional medicine, which is a 100-year experiment. Prior to 100 years ago, all healers in all traditions ancestrally worked with the body, using natural means to help bring healing to the body, allowed the body to heal itself by supporting its natural healing abilities. Then 100 years ago, Rockefeller got us off course and decided to throw some man-made synthetic pharmaceuticals into the mix to see if we could treat symptoms. Anyways, that's what I got trained under, this conventional medical model. So I have this lady come to my clinic on a Friday afternoon, walk in, no appointment, 4:30, chest pain. That's a bad omen. It's 4:30. It's a Friday. I'm trying to get to the football game. This lady's got chest pain. She's 70 years old. You know, all things being equal, this lady's having a heart attack. So I start asking her some questions, as I was trained to do in the fine institutions of medicine where I was trained. And so I said, okay, ma'am, is this pain, you know, more on the left side of your chest, radiating to your left arm, left jaw, more of a crushing pressure pain relieved with sitting down and worse when you get up to move? Or is it more of a burning sensation in the middle of your chest, radiating up to your mouth, worse when you lay down, better when you drink some milk, you know, trying to delineate chest pain from angina versus chest pain from reflux? And real quick, she said, oh, it's that second one, burning up to my mouth, better if I drink a little milk or Maalox or whatever. So real quick, within a few, you know, seconds or minutes, you know, I had a pretty good idea. We're not dealing with a heart attack. We went ahead and did an EKG to confirm it. But anyways, I pulled out my prescription pad before she was even done talking, and I was writing my prescription for Nexium to give to her, acid reducer, because obviously she had too much stomach acid. And I told her that, said, you got reflux, here's your prescription, see you later, have a good weekend. And she would not take that prescription from me, and she said, Doc, you're just treating my symptoms. And I said, no, ma'am, I'm treating your disease, GERD, gastroesophageal reflux disease, GERD, D's for disease. It's your disease. Here you go. Here's a treatment. She wouldn't take it. I said, ma'am, if you don't take it, you'll get esophageal cancer because you're not supposed to have acid in your esophagus. You can get cancer. Tried to scare her into it, and she still wouldn't do it. She said, no, I want you to figure out what's really wrong, not just treat the symptom. I didn't know what she was talking about. And so then I went biblical on her and said, well, Adam and Eve in the garden, they sinned. And so, you know, we live in a fallen world. Disease, death, sickness, dying came in. Luckily for you, though, God made doctors with smart brains and all these pharmacists that can figure out stuff and chemists and scientists. And we figure out how to treat this disease of too much stomach acid. So here you go. She still wouldn't take it. And finally, I just stuffed it in her purse and said, ma'am, that's fine. You don't have to take it. But there's only two choices. Choice one, suffer. Choice two, take the drugs. That's it. Choice one, choice two. Option one, option two. What she was trying to get me to see is there's an option three, and the option three is God designed the body perfectly. If I'm having these symptoms, that means something about God's design's not being stewarded the right way. Something's off. So help me to figure out why the valve between my esophagus and stomach's not working. Now, if I had consulted the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Creator, the Designer of this whole body, if I would have prayed on that, you know, I could have come to the truth being, yes, she does have acid in her esophagus. Yes, she will hurt from that, and she will increase her risk of esophageal cancer. So let me give her some Nexium for the next couple days to give her some relief while we educate her on what's really causing the valve not to work right. And that is almost always stress and sugar. Diet and lifestyle. Ma'am, you're going to have to change your diet and lifestyle in order to get God's design to work fully, get that valve to work and close. Then you can get off your Nexium. But if you stay on that Nexium long term, guess what's going to happen? You're going to block enough stomach acid production. You're not going to digest your nutrients. You can't break down that steak to get the nutrients out of it to absorb them into the body. You can't absorb B12. That's why we give B12 shots. You can't absorb B12 without stomach acid. You can't absorb magnesium that we talk about all the time on this show without stomach acid. So long term, you're going to increase your risk of malnutrition. You're going to be demineralized. All the cascade of negative effects that come from not having B12 and magnesium. And that's just two of the nutrients. You're going to increase your risk of C. difficile. That's a bacterial overgrowth that can lead to diarrhea and can kill you because there's C. diff resistance to antibiotics. Stomach acid kills C. diff. Stomach acid kills lots of bugs. So my point being, if I only do the pharmaceutical approach and don't address the root cause, she's going to actually end up being sicker. And it's the same thing, I believe, across the board with medicine. We've taken this pharmaceutical approach as the answer. We've elevated it to the level of God, and we forgot about God, and we forgot about His design, and we forgot about consulting the Holy Spirit. My personal testimony on this, one of the things that helped to keep me immature, I'll say, spiritually mature, keep me easy prey for the father of all lies to lie to me, to get me off track, to take the bait of evolution, to take the bait of science knows better, is not fully understanding a deeper level of spiritual truth. I grew up in church where they taught me turn or burn. They taught me Jesus came as God's Son, the perfect Son, to die on the cross as a sacrifice for me. If I believe that story and I confess it with my mouth and I get baptized, I can go to heaven. All of which is true. And I did that when I was 11 years old. And that's for me, and I'm not saying every church is this way, but for me, and I know a bunch because I've talked to 20,000 patients in the past 10 years at Veritas, and this comes up a lot. It left me at a certain level of maturity that was very immature. Yes, I'm saved. I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven. And now I need to go knock on doors and get 20 other people saved. Let's populate heaven. I believe that kept me immature and susceptible to the spirit of fear coming in. And I'm going to be scared of COVID, and I'm going to look to the doctor to give me my quote-unquote peace. What a deception. And I think it's an insult to God to not turn to Him, look to Him. I mean, His Word says the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. And I'm not saying don't get the vaccine. If you are seeking the truth and you're praying and the Holy Spirit's guiding you and leading you, you're fully informed. My people die from lack of knowledge. Most, if not all, the people I talk to that have got the vaccine, they don't know it's not FDA approved. It's emergency authorized only. They don't know this experimental technology has never made it past animal trials. They don't know it changes the RNA, DNA. We don't know long-term what it does. They don't know that if they've already had COVID naturally, they increase their risk of adverse reaction if they take the shot. They don't know that it doesn't decrease transmission. They think if I get this shot, I can go do everything because I won't get anyone sick and they won't get me sick. They don't have the information and knowledge, number one. They haven't been fully informed. That's my beef. Number two is if they're immature spiritually and not seeking the truth, the source of truth. Anyways, I got a preacher here sitting next to me. I need to let him chime in. The last thing I'm going to say. Father, may they be one as we are one. God wants a people in the earth as one, walking together in love, representing Him, and He's love. There's supposed to be some mature, spiritually minded people walking around on the earth in peace, not freaking out, stressed out, in fear. And we're supposed to be walking as one body with Christ, the Spirit of Truth, Christ, as the head. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing the spirit of fear run rampant. And I'm not here to blame it all on the quote-unquote church. But I will say the biblical definition of church that I read is the body. Christ is building His church of living stones. It's a spiritual house of living stones. And the church, which is His body, I don't have those references, I can look them up. But so this, to me, there's a huge mistake in my upbringing of me thinking the church was this institutional building that you go to with programs and preachers and board of directors and deacons and all that. Even though they told me, no, the church is the people, not the building, not the institution. They told me that, but then the life they lived and the life I lived was, No, it's the institution. And that half-truth, deception, counterfeit got me in a place that I got swayed to and fro. So that's why I'm always talking about gospel of the kingdom, not gospel of salvation. And that can be a touchy deal, especially with religious Bible Belt, place where we live. Cody Cochran, Anton, Texas. Welcome to the show. Please, if you will, introduce yourself. So I met up with Cody, I don't know, it's been a few months back. Whenever Cody asked me to come speak at his church in Anson, Texas, that's just north of Abilene for folks that are out of state or don't know. And Anson's a great little town, and Cody's a great man. He and I connect in lots of ways. He's an ancestral chef, I call him. This man can whip up some good eats with real God food, not man food. But Cody, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us. Feel free to say anything you want after that tirade I went on.
No.
Also, if you want to just kind of share a little bit of
no, man. Just,
who you are, where you came from.
Sure, cool. No, thanks. It's cool to be here, man. I just, it's a privilege. I admire you. I admire your courage for going against the flow. I admire your courage for standing up for the truth and for what the Lord's leading you to do. I know that's not easy, and so... it's kind of my life. I was raised a cowboy, you know, got to do, that's what that was my identity, man. That's all I wanted to do my whole life. Got to work on some really cool other bigger ranches, and I always had something inside of me that was calling me to do more, but it's hard to fight that old system. You know, I mean, I grew up drinking and fighting and doing the cowboy deal, and you're long, but it takes some courage to be different. You know what I mean? It takes a strong-willed person to be different and stand up for the truth, especially in the world we live in nowadays and everything that you're talking about and so much more. If you want to speak the truth today, you better be prepared. You better be strong. You better be spiritually mature.
Yeah.
You better know, because there's the father of all lies is out there, and it's a spiritual warfare, man, and it's a struggle. I used to say this. I didn't understand spiritual warfare. I wasn't raised. I was like you. I was raised in church, thank God, taught salvation, family took me to church, but that was it. It was like, get saved, okay, now go set your butt on that back pew back there and deal with life, and you're going to have to struggles and all this. And I didn't understand that the kingdom was bigger than that, that, you know, I could be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and I was called to be salt and light, and I just didn't, I didn't get, you know, all those things. And so I was angry at the church. I was like, why in the heck didn't you tell me, you know? I struggled standing up and sharing the absolute truth. I struggled being different, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just fell into that mold. I didn't understand spiritual warfare. That was what I was going to tell you. And I started pastoring a church, and people are so easily offended nowadays. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We just live in this world, and in the church even, I've been pastoring there 20 years, you'd do something and somebody would get offended, you know, or whatever. And I would think, what do you mean? I make fun of a guy. There's a cowboy. I go back to the Guthrie to preach a revival. It's 4 6s. It's where I've been. There's one particular friend of mine. I've made fun of him my whole life.
Yeah.
And he shows up at church, and I tell a joke on him, you know, thinking it's all cool. And I find out later he got offended, and he didn't come back anymore. And I was like, what the heck? And I understood spiritual warfare at that moment, because you go to the bar back in the day, and somebody steal your girlfriend, or you get in a fight, or they key your car. Well, next Saturday night, you're back at the bar. Or you'd go to the rodeo, and you'd lose your money, or something would happen bad. Well, the next week, you'd be right back at the rodeo. But throw the spirituality in the mix, and somebody get offended easily, and they're done. They leave the church, they leave the Lord, they're gone. And I understood that's the power of the enemy coming in and getting in our minds. And I understood spiritual warfare through that story.
Right, yeah. That's really, really good. The mind, the power of the mind.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, that's where I keep going is, I mean, I'll just say, I had a guy tell me one time when I was still just walking around immature, gospel salvation is the only thing I ever heard. Sure. And he said, well, why don't you go look up the gospel that Jesus preached? Why don't you go look up the gospel that Paul's talking about? So I went and did that. And, man, I just kept seeing gospel of the kingdom, gospel of the kingdom,
sure,
gospel of the kingdom all over the place. And I went back and told that guy, well, it says gospel of the kingdom. And he said, yeah, it sure does. What's that? And I just stared at him.
Yeah.
Like, believe Jesus is God's son. He died on the cross and get saved and go to heaven.
Sure.
No, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. That's gospel of salvation. It's true.
Sure.
But Jesus is talking about something way more than that. And Paul's talking about way more than that. It's an authority thing. And that's where I was completely clueless. And going back to the thoughts.
Sure.
I mean, that book of truth says this spiritual warfare we're under, that war has already been won. All authority is given to Jesus. So what's the deal? This word authority just kept coming. And then connecting the dots on our thoughts. So when this thought comes in that you mentioned identity, I got to be a small town country doctor.
Sure.
I got to do house calls, Friday night football game, do the nursing home, county jail. I got to be like my two granddads, who were great men, great doctors, small town country doctors.
Yeah.
I got to be just like them to feel accepted, loved, prove my worth, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anyone in my family or anyone else ever told me that. Nobody ever told me that. But it was just a thought that got put in there, I say, from the enemy. Because I want secure in my identity. How the world looks at me, judges me, thinks of me. Am I cutting it? And the answer was going to be, no, you're not cutting it unless you like your granddad's and be a small town. That's one example of a thought. I had this thought, which now understand, it was an identity crisis issue. I didn't know who I was. Part of it was man-pleasing. That's a demonic spirit. A thought that comes in and says, I have to keep my fellow man happy. So decisions I make in life are going to be solely driven by how can I keep all these people happy?
Sure.
Well, that's not the truth.
Sure.
But I didn't understand how much power I was submitting to an authority of darkness, of lies, the kingdom of dark. Mm-hmm. So there's the kingdom of light and the kingdom of dark, the kingdom of truth, the kingdom of lies. And it's this authority thing. And that other kingdom has no authority unless we agree with them. We submit to that by saying, yep, I'm going to be fearful.
Sure.
Or, yep, I have to stay in this small town country doctor mode for the rest of my life.
Yep.
It is a lie from the pit of hell.
It is.
But I wasn't taught that. I wasn't taught kingdom. I wasn't taught authority. I wasn't taught any of that stuff. So, like I said, immature.
Sure.
Susceptible to be knocked around.
Sure.
Big
so
time.
I think, I was the same way. I mean, like I said a while ago, I was raised in the church and I was taught how to be saved. But that was it. You know what I mean? The gospel of salvation. And nobody taught me, you know, and I think the scripture says, Jesus said, y'all gonna make disciples.
Yeah.
Don't go make converts. And I think we went and made converts, which is good. It's the greatest step you'll ever make, but it's the first step.
Yeah.
And I think we've made it the last step oftentimes, you know what I mean? And so when you, and why is it too, Ben, why is it that we're so easy to believe the lie, but we struggle to believe the truth?
Yeah.
Why is it that you believe that one thought that came into your mind and it wound up controlling you, it wound up being this bondage to you, and then we read the scripture, and the scripture, you know, says total opposite of that, but we struggle to overcome. And so I'm with you on the mind thing, man. It's a... people that know me well, my family teases me all the time, you know, because I just believe as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know,
And
whatever we think, and my kids would be sick as a kid, you know, when they were younger, bellyache and didn't want to go to bed, and half the time it was just because they didn't want to go to bed, they had bellyache or whatever. And I'd tell my kids, all right, look, you got to speak, you got to have this positive confession, you got to say, I'm not sick, I'm well. I'm not sick, I'm well. And so it's become a joke with us, but it's just training your mind to take on the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
To take that thought captive that the enemy would put in there and cast it out, you know, and have your thoughts line up with the will of God and the Word of God.
Amen. And that's the beautiful thing is the Word can be trusted 100%.
Sure.
Science comes out later and starts proving all this. That's where I got so convicted is I've been so Western-minded, spirit of intellectualism. That's another demonic one we'll talk about later. But trained up in this system of science has to prove it, and if science hadn't proved it, it can't be.
Sure.
So my wife's not like this at all. And I tell this story all the time. It sounds silly, but when we first got married and I was in med school and she was cooking dinner in our apartment down in Houston, she called me to dinner and I come out around the corner from the bedroom. I'm seeing from across the apartment to the dining room table this, she made chili and cornbread, and this piece of cornbread with thick layer of white on top. And I was thinking, man, who did I marry? They put icing on their cornbread. But it was a big old thick layer of butter. Right. And I told her, I said, we can't eat that much butter. Really, we don't need to eat butter at all. That's going to give us heart attack. We need to eat, I can't believe it's not butter and margarine and all that. And quit getting that whole milk. We got to get skim milk. And I got her to wean off the whole milk. And I mean, that's silly. But the point is, science was telling me saturated fat was bad. Well, now fast forward 20 years, science was wrong. Well, imagine that. Well, now science, quantum physics in particular, is talking about and showing and proving prayer works. Thoughts change our DNA shape. Harvard even came out, Mind-Body Institute, 98% of all disease can be related back down to thoughts. The shape of our water, and we're 99% water, guys, by molecule, 70% by weight. But line up all the molecules in your body, 9 out of 10. Or water. Your DNA floats in water. Your mitochondria floats in water. Your whole cell is a bag of water that floats in another lake of water outside your cell. And that water holds memories. That water is impacted by your thoughts, bitterness, unforgiveness, anger. And that changes the shape of your DNA, which changes your genetic expression. Science has proven all this now. That's why I love Caroline Leaf's book, Switch On Your Brain, and I've had her on the show before. Y'all go back and find that interview. It's amazing. Read her book. And it just shows you clearly. Here's this scripture, as a man thinketh, bitterness rots the bones. I mean, just goes right through the word. And then she shows the scientific literature that proves it, lines up with it. Mm-hmm. And man, talk about it. Punch to the gut for me as far as, you know, I had to repent. I'm sorry, God. Yeah. I was such a... I mean, I put my hope and faith and belief in intellectual, scientific PhDs standing up in a lecture hall above the truth that's in that book.
Sure. And so, too, like about that, like I was, the church that I grew up in maybe kind of didn't teach me spiritual maturity, didn't get it all right. Same maybe with you. And so that's what's motivated us to try to do like church different, to do my life different, not to just, yeah, I mean, to present the kingdom, you know what I mean? To tell people, yes, Christ came and God loved you while you were in your sin, and he sent his son, and through acceptance and through faith in him, and not just in him, but in his word, in his eternal word, you know, that you can go on and you can live this life free of fear. You can go and live this life and you can actually be salt, you know, and it's not just what happens on Sunday, but it's what you do with that throughout the rest of the week. And so that's what's been good for me and what we've been trying to, all churches get it wrong, but we're trying to say, hey, it's more than Sunday, man. You're a dad. You know what I mean? Go be a dad. You go teach your kids. Hey, go, you're a mom. Go be a mom. Go, you know, influence the people you're around. And so share the good news, and so that the truth can be out there and people can stop trusting in this old world, man. If there's anything that you've learned and I've learned, is the stuff from this old world, man, it'll let you down.
Yeah. I mean, in the books, the Bible tells us these things. I mean, it says there's the ruler of this world, you know, the prince of darkness is ruling this world and all these systems of the world. I mean, the Holy Spirit speaks to our spirit individually. Human beings have a spirit that can commune with the Holy Spirit. Institutions like, and I'm not saying there can't be a medical school or Social Security, or people put their hope, faith, and trust in these institutions of man that we know the Word says these worldly things are influenced by the father of all lies, and we better be careful on putting all our hope, faith, and trust in these systems of the world that are going to fail us every time.
Sure.
So there's a kingdom way to do these things, and it seems like it's not being done.
Sure.
And so let's at least know that so we can see and discern better. Mm-hmm. When such and such comes out on the TV, I mean, we don't even watch TV.
Amen, brother.
I'm not saying we won't rent a movie or something sometime, but like just flip on your channel, whatever, ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, whatever. We don't, none of that. My wife was at a homeschool convention in Dallas last weekend at the hotel. She was by herself. She just flipped it on and and she called me just disgusted. And maybe because we haven't turned it on in so long, the commercials. I mean, she could see so clearly the propaganda, the half-truth, and it was all about that vaccine.
Sure.
But we're slowly weaned into this deception, and I encourage people to go look up the word deception. Look at that definition. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't know you're being deceived.
Sure.
That's the point.
That's the trick.
But anyways.
Yeah.
We're up against a break. I want to get more into some of these things, because ultimately I think what it boils down to, if we're supposed to be salt and light, we're supposed to be walking the earth here as a representative of God daily.
Amen.
Being the church, the body daily in our sphere of influence, representing Him. We got to be walking that calling out, and we're going to talk about things that keep us from being in our calling. And guarantee you, it's going to be rooted in a thought influenced by the enemy. All right. Cody Cochran, usually we let our guests tell what book, you know, where to get your book or website or how to follow you and all that, but Bethel Church.
No books here, no books here. Yeah.
But if y'all are ever down in Anson, well, y'all live stream or put your teachings up on,
Facebook. Bethel Assembly of Anson is where it's at. Yeah.
And I've had the honor of speaking in front of that congregation, and it was amazing. Little bitty town of Anson, but it was three services. It seemed like 100 and something in each one, maybe 200 in one of them. But
we were tickled to have you there, so yeah, look forward to you coming back.
Yeah, enjoyed it. Okay, we will be right back. Stick with us, guys. You're listening, Ben Edwards, and you're The Cure.
Welcome back into You're the Cure right here on AM 580 and 95.9 FM. Brought to you by VeritasMedical.com. Check out that website, VeritasMedical.com, for archived shows and other important information to help you regain control of your health. Lots of good information at VeritasMedical.com.
All right, we are back at it today talking some spiritual stuff, which ultimately this is the peace pillar. True peace isn't just stress management, positive thinking, go do some breath work or exercise. Not that any of those are bad, but you only have a certain impact on your physiology doing that, and especially if you're just jumping right back into the frying pan and the stress. So I'm not talking stress management. True peace, which I believe is a gift from God. You know, the scriptures say Jesus will give us peace that surpasses all understanding, and a peace that not as the world gives. So I look at the peace that, quote-unquote, peace that the world gives as being more stress management. And that doesn't cut it, because it's not the truth. So we need true peace where, despite your circumstances, despite COVID-19, despite all the craziness right now in the world, and I'm not even halfway understanding that craziness because I don't watch the media. But true peace. And I think a lot of it's rooted in what we talked about earlier with Cody Cochran here from Bethel Anson, we're visiting with today, identity. And we talked about all these different lies, man-pleasing spirit, spirit of fear, all these are demonic spirits. I mean, the most repeated phrase in the Bible I've read, I haven't counted it up myself, but 400 plus times it says, thou shalt not fear, or fear not, or don't be afraid. That's a big one. But to me, kind of the biggest overarching of all of them is the spirit of sonship versus an orphan. If you think about that for a minute, an orphan doesn't have an identity. He doesn't know his dad or his mom. And he has to scrounge and be his own provision. Work by the sweat of his brow to be his own provision. And then he's got to defend himself, protect himself. He has no one else to protect him or provide for him. So an orphan's got to be a little scrapper. And if your focus is always on where's my provision coming from and how am I going to protect myself and how can I manipulate this situation, system, person, circumstances for my own benefit, my own protection and provision, how can I get my 401k beefed up, how can I line up whatever at work, how can I undercut this other one so I can get the promotion, or how can I get more security, blah, blah, blah. Your own provision, your own protection, and not knowing truly who you are, that you're a son of God put here for a reason, to fulfill a purpose, That's the biggest one to me, orphan. And Jesus coming out of the wilderness, the three temptations, it was those three things, provision, protection, and identity. Turn this stone into bread, provision. Jump off the top of the temple here, and call the angels to come catch you and save you, protection. And then come to the top of the mountain, look out, and kneel down to me, bow down to me, and I'll give you all this. That's identity. And to me, that's the core. That's the foundational thing. If you don't, number one, even believe there's a God. And for those who aren't into the Bible and you think I'm talking religion, I'm not talking religion. I'm talking there's a spiritual realm. And if you need to go prove that in quantum physics, go do your work on that and prove it. But you're going to come back with, yep, there's a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And in that spiritual realm, there's truth and there's light. And there's dark and lies. And then go study that book, and you'll see it's an amazing quantum physics book. But assuming you've done all that and you do believe, okay, this book's true, well, now we got to drill down into this son versus, you know, a child of God, the creator, the light and the father of truth. I'm a child. I'm an offspring. I'm a product of him. And I can rely on him for my provision and protection. So I don't have to stay in this job that's stressing me out just because it has good health insurance. I can't tell you the number of times I've heard that. The body can't be healthy in fight or flight mode, but I'm going to stay in fight or flight mode because I need this job for the health insurance.
Wow.
Or I'm going to stay in this job because it's what is going to keep everybody happy. You know, I had all my reasons down in post. So here's what I think. We'll get to your thoughts on this identity in the body of Christ. I take that, do not forsake the assembling of the body to be. Like for me, Ben, you're a member of the body of Christ, and your role, the call on your life, because everybody has a call. Before I put you in your mama's womb, I knew you set you apart. I put a call on your life, and that call is without recall, and I gave you gifts to support the call. So there's something in each one of us that naturally is put in there by our Creator that wants to come out for the benefit of the rest of the body, for all the members of the body. And how I took that, do not forsake the assembling of the body, was Jesus was assembling the body. Jesus was assembling me into his body, meaning he was calling me out of conventional medicine in Post, Texas. He was drawing me, calling me out of that thing to do what I'm doing now, to represent him more accurately, and I don't have it all figured out, and to start Veritas, and to provide kingdom perspective on medicine and health and wellness. That's my calling. And the gifts to support the call are there. And Jesus is doing that assembling, putting me into the body to do my thing, to walk out my peace to the benefit of the other pieces of the body, all as one under the head of Christ. How could I forsake that? By submitting to the spirit of man-pleasing, the orphan spirit. Why? I can't make a living. I'm making a good living in Post, Texas. I'm getting a good old quarterly bonus check, especially when flu shot season came around, and I could crank through those flu shots. That orphan spirit will come in and lie to me, and if I submit to the authority of that liar, I'm going to stay in Post, Texas the rest of my life, and that's forsaking the assembling of me into the body.
Sure.
And I see that every day, all day long, as people have submitted to the authority of the kingdom of darkness unknowingly, unwittingly. They would never say, oh yeah, I'm following Satan. Mm. But in their thoughts, unknowing to them, in their thoughts, they're making decisions based off fear of lack of provision, fear of protection, not knowing their identity, scared to step out in that call. Anyways, that's where I get so passionate about, hey, we got to get past this religious, superficial, get saved only church. And I don't want to throw all churches into the same deal,
sure.
Cody. I hope you hear me there. And, you know, bringing in Chip Brogdon, bringing in Abraham John, who really pushed this kingdom thing. And, you know, it's probably not either or, the truth.
Sure.
Eat of the fruit of the tree of life.
Sure.
That's what we're supposed to be doing.
Sure.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's either or right there. That's where it came in.
Sure.
And humans want to go into this either or. I'm right, you're wrong. This is the right way, that's the wrong way. And, well,
sure.
You know, so it's a tricky deal.
Sure.
And I don't want to come across the wrong way.
I don't think you do. I think everybody thinks they're doing it right or they wouldn't be doing it that way. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
And so I'm with you. I get it. You know, there's so much more than what the traditional church, we'll call it that, has yeah. given us. There's a spiritual level. There's a spiritual maturity that we've not gone to. We've talked about salvation and left it there and counted our numbers and we baptized this many. And I get it. That's a place to celebrate. I think God's a celebratory God and wants us to celebrate things like that. Like He wants to celebrate your new practice and the way you're doing new stuff. But my story was much like yours. The Lord called me out of that cowboy life. That was my identity. I mean, I'm proud to say it. I worked for four sixes, and I mean, that's where I wanted to work my whole life. My heroes when I was a kid growing up were those guys. They had pointed hats. They wore pointed toe boots. They wore straight leg Levi's. They could ride and rope and fight and do it all. And so I wake up and I'm living there, and my entire identity is wrapped up in that image, that Marlboro Man image, working on that ranch. And so my life really was changed in a church, and it was a Spirit-filled church. I started going with my wife, and the Lord started dealing with me, and I felt the Lord calling me out of that lifestyle. For me, the Lord knew that I couldn't do it on my own, so He called me out of the Guthrie. I finally surrendered. My wife and I prayed together, whatever You want us to do, we'll go wherever You want to go. But we prayed this prayer: don't send us to Abilene. We don't want a full-time pastorate, and we don't want an Assemblies of God church. In 6 months, we were living in Abilene. I was a full-time pastor of an Assembly of God church. But He called us out of that, out of Guthrie, because I wasn't strong enough to fight those surroundings by myself. I had to get out here, get a new identity, get a new mindset, get a new perspective on life. And so, because my life was changed and the truth was spoken to me at this little church in Roaring Springs, Texas, the truth was spoken to me, and I got set free from orphan, from performance, from religion, from bondage. And the Lord, I got a lot of stuff wrong, but I at least followed the Lord out of that lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, how many more men and cowboys are in that same bondage that I was in? Mm-hmm. So we felt like the Lord was saying, let's have an assembly, a gathering together. I didn't feel like I could have relation. I didn't have any Christian good influences, mm-hmm. good relationships. And so that's when it's been 20 years ago, it's crazy, yeah. started over there at Bethel. And so it's not the perfect church, and we get it wrong. I guarantee we get it wrong a lot. But there's a lot of guys that are like me whose life have been changed there, mm-hmm. not because of me, but because the Spirit of Truth is there, and because mm-hmm. we're going, this is more than you just getting saved.
Yeah.
You get saved, you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you live outside of fear, you go with the authority that God has given you, and you be all God has called you to be. Go be salt, go be light, go represent the kingdom of God. And so that's why we do what we do down there. And I think it's the same. I hear you talk a lot about the spirit of division.
Yeah.
And I think division can come to the kingdom, and the enemy can go, no, you got to do it this way. No, you got to do it that way. Mm. When the fact of the matter is, we're all trying to do it for the kingdom of God. You know, there's a scripture when John came to Jesus and he said, hey, there's some guys over there that are casting out devils and they're not following us, and we told them to quit. And Jesus goes, no, if they're not against us, they're for us.
Yeah.
You know, and so when we're in the kingdom of God, we're all together. We just may do it right. different ways. If I go fishing and this rattle trap ain't working, I ain't going to just sit there the rest of the day chunking the rattle trap. You know what I mean? We're going to yeah. do it some different ways. And so that's our story. And that's what I think has been so cool for us to get to watch is people's yeah. lives transformed, not because of church, not because of religion, but because of relationship with God
yeah.
and relationships in the kingdom and relationship with others.
Amen.
Iron sharpens iron. You know what I mean? We're yeah. better together than we are by ourselves.
Amen, brother. I'm with you. Well, we got a few minutes left. I just want to encourage the listeners out there, whether you're in a church building, if you're, you know, doing something outside a church building, that's not the point. The point is that relationship, like Cody just said, and having people to walk with. You know, you need sure. your Barnabas, you need that iron sharpening iron. because we're in a world right now where, man, if you think you got it figured out, whoo, watch out.
Sure.
And, I mean, I have to check myself and my thank God above that he's put me with my wife who can help, help keep me. I mean, she completes me. We're one.
Yep.
And she knows where my potential blind spots are, the chinks in my armor, my weak spots, where she knows Satan can whisper something to me, and I'm susceptible to listen to that thing. So we need each other to kind of help watch those blind spots.
And so, I can say the same thing.
Yeah,
for my wife as well.
And if all this is kind of foreign to y'all out there, I would just say, just start talking to God, even if you're not sure he's even there or he even exists or is real or whatever. I believe his desire is for all to know him and for none to perish. And no one comes through the Father but through the Son, but no one comes through the Son but the Father draws them.
Sure.
So just ask for God to draw you. Ask for that Spirit of truth to draw you. And really, this is the last thing I'll say. I'll let you wrap it up. I was in my probably second year of medical practice. So we had one kiddo, our firstborn. He's 17 now. And we got pregnant with him right away. I mean, right away. This was in residency. We got off birth control, boom, first month pregnant. Got back on birth control because we thought we were in charge. And after a year and a half or so, it's time for baby number two. Let's get off birth control. So, boom, we thought we'd be pregnant again. Nope. The next month, nope. The next month, nope. And we're 12 months down the road, no pregnancy. So we're officially infertile. That's the medical definition of infertile, is trying for 12 months. So then we went to the fertility doctor for about another 10 or 12 months, something around there. Nothing. And then I was reading in Matthew, and I came across that verse, seek ye first the kingdom, then all these things will be given unto you. And I'd read that before. But something about it that day, it hit me like a ton of bricks between the eyes, like, boom, whoa, 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 whoa. What is that? Focus on that. And I'm not saying focus on it in a superficial, self-centered, selfish way of, hey, if you'll do this kingdom thing, then all these things, including a pregnancy, will be given to you. No, it hit me with, whoa, all these other things I need to quit focusing on, quit thinking about, quit lusting over, quit putting up as an idol, quit, putting all my energy, focus, time, effort, and thoughts to that. Let it all go. God gave us one kid, and if that's his intent, I'm going to submit to God's plan of one kid. And not just like some of my kids do now, like, okay, Dad, I'll mind just because you say so and you're going to spank me if I don't. Really submit. Have a soft heart, soft neck instead of stiff neck. God, I really trust you. One kid's good enough. Thank you for him. And let's go. So me and Jamie got on the same page with, that's it. If God says we're done, we're done. One kid's good enough. And we truly submitted to that. And that, I think, was the very first time. Besides, submitting to Christ as my Savior and being baptized, that was the first step of, and that's, 15 years ago. But looking back, I think that was it. That was the entry point for me when I truly said, I want the kingdom. And all these other things will be given unto you. And so we, of course, quit fertility treatment right then, quit thinking about that, got pregnant the next month, and, now we have six kids, so it's kind of a funny irony there.
Yeah.
But the Lord took me through 2 or 3, 4 years of dealing with the evolutionary thing. He brought me into a world of scientists that taught me the truth about that deal. So that's where I had to start. And then it was on from there.
Sure.
And eventually led me into questioning medicine. So it can start with one prayer, one thing, but it starts with a heart change. But ask the Spirit to draw you.
Yep.
That's what I would have to say to listeners. Final thoughts, Cody?
No, man, I love it. I just, I love the kingdom, man. It's awesome. And I think it's just, for us, you talk about your scripture. Ours was kind of Matthew 5. Jesus said, you know what? You're the salt of the earth. Go be salt and go be light. And so, you know what I mean? I just think that the salt is powerful, man. Mm-hmm. You know this. Salt's your way to health. You know
That's
what I mean?
Right.
Salt's good for digestion. Salt creates thirst. Salt elevates everything.
Yeah.
And you know what? That was for the big identity change for me. I was no longer just an orphan. I was a child of God. Mm-hmm. I had been forgiven. I had a calling higher than cowboying. And me and Jennifer, as our lives, we wanted to just go out and be salt. And my theory is, if you're going to be a bear, be a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be salt, be saltier than the next guy. Do something to create some thirst in the kingdom of God so that people would see that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long we got, but my grandmother used to, when she'd boil water, she'd put a little salt in the water. And I said to my grandmother, what are you doing putting salt in there as a little kid? She'd say, well, that salt makes that water boil faster and get hotter. And I think, well, that's kind of cool. Well, in the summertime, she'd make homemade ice cream. And she'd put ice around the ice cream, you know, and then she'd put salt. And I said, well, what are you doing putting salt out here? I thought salt made the water hotter. She said, well, it makes the ice colder, too. And so I just had this revelation at a young age that salt elevated everything.
Yeah.
And so I think we're called to be salt, and we're to live in the kingdom, and we're to be salty. And the scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Mm-hmm.
You and I live in the kingdom with kingdom principles, with our identity, and we go out in the world and we don't have fear, and we shine the light of Christ, it'll create salt in others, and the Spirit is already drawing them in, and mm-hmm. then God has already have a relationship.
Yeah.
Waiting for them. And so, I love it. So,
that's good.
I love what you preach. I love everything.
Good.
So, yeah.
Well, thank you for preaching the truth, too. I mean, it's an encouragement. Yeah. The world needs encouragement more than anything right now. They need the truth the most, of course. So, thank you for being
here.
Thanks
for the invitation, and thanks for everything, man.
We'll do it again.
Okay.
Okay, everybody. That was Cody Cochran, Bethel Anson. You can check him out online every Sunday and probably other days, too. We'll be back next week with another show. All the archive shows you can find at VeritasMedical.com. We're on Apple iTunes also. Thank y'all for listening. I'm Ben Edwards. You're the Cure.